Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 197 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Wow, coming up on 200, which I guess is pretty good. Anyway, I feel like a late night AM radio talk host, like it's midnight. I'm here by myself just talking to whoever's listening. It's kind of a cool vibe. I wish I had all cool shit to say, but, well, you can't say shit. So I guess I'm not a late night radio host. AM radio. Look, remember? Anyway. So, another mass shooting. I haven't been on since it happened. By now, we all know the details. We've been through it repeatedly. Stephen Paddock unloaded from a window in Mandalay Bay overlooking a country music festival. Killed 58 people, wounded 489 people. Just absolutely horrible again. And we will do nothing, by the way. We as a society, our Congress, laws, etc. Nothing will be done. Nothing will be changed. He used a thing called a bump stock, which I talked to a friend who's into guns, and it sort of, it uses the recoil of the gun to fire the trigger. To pull the trigger, and it converts a semi-automatic where you have to pull the trigger to shoot, not quite to a fully automatic, but it sure increases the rate of fire. And this is what this guy used. I don't know, he had somewhat 10 or 20 guns in the hotel room with him. He he shot through the door at a security guard. He had cameras set up so he could see him coming. He obviously planned this thing out. Nobody knows yet what his motives were. He was a lone wolf. He was a lone wolf, which is code. That means he was a white man. That means he was a white Christian male. So they're always lone wolves. Had he been black, it would have been the NFL's fault. You know, and I'm only semi-joking about this because you know it's true. Had he been Muslim, well, that story writes itself. I mean, that would be his family, his upbringing, his country, blah, blah, blah. I did notice one thing interesting. His brother started talking the day after, and nobody arrested him. And I do remember we had a Muslim shooter, and his brother was arrested as soon as they knew who he was. But anyway, lone wolf, horrible. Now here's the thing, and when you talk about, this is my opinion. This is how these things affect me or my thoughts. Like, these people went to a country music concert. Okay, I don't care. You know, if you agree with their politics or not, as some stupid CBS executive said, well, they're right-wingers, so they're gun-toted, blah, blah. No, it's not about their politics. It's not about their color, race, etc. It's like they went to a concert, and they're never coming home. And there were stories of, I read a story about a mother from Bakersfield being killed. A friend of mine knows a guy who was killed. The father was killed. The son was wounded, and the kid's mother had committed suicide a couple of years ago. Can you imagine how that kid is right now? I mean, this is the reality of these shootings, and there are 58 stories like this. I heard one commentator say something that I thought was great. They said, you know, America will just, we'll file this. It'll be gone. It'll be out of the news cycle in another week, except for 58 families who will remember this forever. So it happened again. Like I said, nothing will be done except thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. That's the right wing, from Trump through the Senate, through the congressman, through the spokesman, through Fox News, etc., etc. First thing they said, this is not the time to talk about guns. This is not the time to talk about guns. This are thoughts and prayers. And you wonder about thoughts and prayers. I did. And what I found out was thoughts and prayers have a price, a specific price. This is how much it costs to buy thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers are purchased by the NRA. The NRA spends money on government, on elections, on contributions, to make sure that no gun laws or no restrictions are ever passed. Now, they want to ban these bump stop things, and the NRA is saying it's okay, but they're it's sort of okay. And it's one of those things, okay, we'll give up on this one little toy that makes a semi-automatic into a almost an automatic weapon, but we won't talk about giving up semi-automatic military-style weapons. By the way, I think my favorite thing with this shooting was when they tried to blame it on the hotel. Well, if hotels had better security, then crazed shooters couldn't bring a bunch of guns up to, like, let's blame everything except the guns. But anyway, okay, how much do hopes and prayers, thoughts and prayers cost? Well, NRA spent $54.4 million in the 2016 election cycle. Now, why do we say that the money was spent on the right wing? These are independent expenditures, right? They're not to a direct campaign. This is how they hide. I'm not going to go into how they hide money. These are the donations. But out of 52.6 million donated, Democrats received $265. So there might not be a lot of thoughts and prayers there. But thoughts and prayers. You want to buy thoughts and prayers? Okay, let's break it down. Donald Trump, he sent his warmest condolences and sympathies. The NRA spent more than $30 million to help elect Trump, $19 million attacking Hillary Clinton. John McCain, Cindy, his wife, and I are praying for the victims of the Los Angeles shooting and their families. We appreciate the bravery of their first responders. Those prayers cost $7.7 million. That's how much McCain got from the NRA. Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader. This is a moment for national mourning and for prayer. Got $1.3 million from the NRA. Senator Joni Ernst, the Republican from Iowa. My prayers are with the victims. $3.1 million from the NRA. You notice a pattern here? Senator Thomas Tillis, Republican from North Carolina. Sends her deepest condolences and prayers. NRA support in 2016, $5.5 million. And in Nevada, Senator Dean Heller, Republican from Nevada, who's praying for all the victims and those impacted by the tragedy. Wow, Heller works cheap. Only got $122,802. You should have held out, Heller. Your prayers are worth more than that. So thoughts and prayers have a specific dollar amount that you can buy thoughts and prayers after a mass shooting and make sure that we don't do anything about our out of control gun culture in our society. Speaking of money, let's stay on the topic. So you screw up at your job and you get fired. Listen, if you're listening to me, it's happened to you, or you know somebody it's happened to. We all know someone it's happened to. It may have happened to us. It's happened to me in the past. I've screwed up. It happens. Now, imagine if your screw up, you did something like, I don't know, allowed the leak of the personal credit files and information of 143 million people. Now, that's a pretty big screw up. That's pretty bad when you're a credit reporting organization and you allow the personal information of 143 million people out. That's a pretty big screw up. So they're probably going to fire you. They didn't quite fire Richard Smith at Equifax. They gave him a forced early retirement, only 57 years old. And somehow, and I don't know how the man's going to make it, he's going to have to get by on a pension of $253,000 a month. That's right, $253,000 a month. I don't know how he's going to make it. Now, to give you an idea, to put this in perspective, back in 1998, so basically 20 years ago, half of all private sector employees in the United States, I'm sorry, half of all private sector employers in the United States offered newly hired workers a pension for their retirement. By 2015, that percentage had dropped to just 5%. So only 5% of people now, either starting work now, will get a pension. We all use 401ks now. You know that. By the age of 65, They say if you make 75 grand a year, which is a good salary, you're not rich, but that's a good salary. In most of America, you live quite comfortably on that. If you live in New York or California, well, you're in the middle. You're middle class, but you're okay. You're middle class. And they say you should have about 8 times of your salary in your 401k at age 65, which means you should have about $600,000. Most Americans don't. Most Americans don't have 8 times their salary. But this guy doesn't have to worry about it. And it's a good thing because his salary was pretty damn big. How big? How much do CEOs make? Well, in the United States, a CEO makes average 271 times the average worker's salary. Now, in Germany, it's 147 times the worker's salary. In Britain, it's 84 times the worker's salary. In Japan, only 67 times the worker's salary. I don't know how those Japanese CEOs are making it. So if you're the average American and you're making 50, 75 grand a year and you hope to have over a half million in your 401k and you don't worry about it. Don't worry about retirement because you won't retire. You will be a greeter at Walmart. Yeah, be careful about making fun of those old people greeting at Walmart because most Americans are on their way to fighting for that job. Unless you are a CEO making $253,000 a month in retirement and you got nothing to worry about. Because at $253,000 a month, you ain't going to Walmart. You ain't got to worry about it at all. Money talks. And these people, this 1%, this whatever you want to call it. It's interesting. These CEOs have agents, you know, like actors, like entertainers and athletes, and they go after big contracts and retirement plans like this. And it's sort of a dual thing, right? So the board of directors votes on how much the CEO gets paid, and then the CEO decides how much the board of directors get paid. Nothing going on there. Yeah, right. But the good thing is they'll also be getting their taxes lowered in the new Republican plan, and they won't have any estate taxes, so their kids can just kind of kick back and collect on this money free. So God bless America. You're not a CEO? You screwed up. Once again, I told the Puerto Ricans last week, I'm telling you this week, bootstraps, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You should be a CEO. Then you wouldn't have to worry about this. And I believe they get medical and dental. Mike Pence pulled, okay, if taking a knee is a protest, an organized protest, Mike Pence pulled the anti-protest, also choreographed. Went to a football game, 49ers, I believe it was a 49ers-Ravens game, not sure. But anyway, some 49er players took a knee. He stood up in a huff and he left saying, I'm not going to be here if they're going to disrespect the flag. Now, as I said last week, this flag issue has been co-opted and et cetera, et cetera. And we know that the protests from Colin Kaepernick was initially about the violence of police towards black people. And then Trump made it about hating America and blah, blah, blah. So Pence did his, it was Colts 49ers game. Colts, not Ravens. My mistake. Anyway, Pence pulled his little routine. And you know who answered? The NFL Players Association. And I got all kind of respect for this. And the beautiful thing about this is the NFL Players Association is a union. Yeah, I know it's a very high-paid union, but it is a union. So Pence pulled his little stunt, and Trump told Jerry Jones that the rules say players have to stand up. The rules don't say that. Rules say players have to be on the field and look at the flag, but it doesn't say they have to stand up. But anyway, DeMaurice Smith, the head of the NFL Players Association, he responded. And he responded well, and he said, I'm quoting some of his response, I look forward to the day when everyone in management can unite and truly embrace what the flag stands for, liberty and justice for all, instead of some of them just talking about standing. No player is disrespecting our country or our flag. As thousands have shown in the past, it takes bravery and courage to speak out and confront these issues as our players here, especially when it is unpopular with some. There's room for management to do the same, and then the players do not have to risk the thoughts and the threats and taunts alone. This is their opportunity to lead, as well as a true test of their motto, football is family. That would be the motto of the owners, which is bullshit. So we'll see how it plays out. We'll see. Will the Cowboys, will Jerry Jones start kicking his players off the field? I don't know. I don't know. But this is all lost. But the Pence move was a cheap move, and people saw through it. And while we're on the topic of every topic is about this. Trump wants equal time. Trump says he's tweeted over the weekend that the late night show hosts and their unfunny shows they're always attacking him, and he wants equal time. Now, he doesn't give equal time to intelligence. You know, it'd be different if he threw out an intelligent tweet for every crazy tweet. That would be equal time. And also, and someone should tell him, there has to be someone there who knows. Someone should tell them that this idea of fairness on TV, yeah, it was done away with by Republicans. Reagan, you remember Reagan, the saint, Saint Reagan, Ronald Reagan, destroyed that. That's when they did away with the fairness doctrine. The fairness doctrine was the FCC rule that said you had to be fair. If you let one side talk, you had to let the other side talk. You had to give them equal time and blah, blah, blah. And they did away with the fairness doctrine, and that's what allowed the growth of right-wing talk radio, and that's what allowed the growth of Fox News. And the Republicans then, and I was alive back then, yeah, kids, I'm that old, they said that fairness means we could talk about whatever we want. See, this is America, and we got the right to free speech, and that means you can't tell, these were the arguments, you can't tell us that we have to give time to the other side. You can't tell us what to say. Free speech, you know, sort of like football players exercising their right to protest, First Amendment, different thing, different First Amendment. Some bitch, that don't count, that's the logic. But that's why you don't get equal time, Trump. And of course, Kimmel said, well, quit your job and come on. And then I think Seth Meyer invited him to the studios in Antarctica. Nice, smart-ass move. But no, you don't get equal time. It doesn't work that way. It literally doesn't work that way because Republicans did away with the fairness doctrine. So is it unfair, Donald Trump? Well, that was a Reagan thing. Speaking of unfair, and this sort of thing is staggering. And, you know, people say we pile on the right. Maybe we do. Maybe I do. But if I do, this could be why. Mississippi's anti-gay law is about to take effect. The federal appeals court dismissed the challenge to HB 1523. This is the most expansive religious liberty law in the U.S. Now, here's basically what this law says. This law basically says that if you have three beliefs, if you believe that marriage means one man and one woman, that sexual relations should only happen inside such a marriage, and that gender is immutable and corresponds to sex at birth, you can say no. You can refuse a same-sex couple lodging at the hotel. You don't have to host a gay marriage. You don't have to provide any services for a gay marriage. You can, if you're a doctor or a hospital, yes, see, hospitals have religious beliefs. I don't know how that works. I guess they're people. Hospitals are people, too. You can deny counseling. You can deny fertility services to someone who's gay or trans or a same-sex couple. If you're a religious organization, you can fire an employee for being gay or trans or pro-gay or pro-trans. You can refuse to rent an apartment to a gay or a trans person. You can refuse to rent to an apartment to an unmarried straight couple. Think about that. An unmarried straight couple, which means an interracial couple. We are talking about Mississippi, right? So if you just say, hey, my religious beliefs say that you can only have sex after marriage, then this couple's unmarried, they're interracial, right? Or what if your religious beliefs say that interracial is wrong? That's not a real marriage to you, right? My religion says that blacks aren't real people or whatever, like, you know, That was a Mormon thing. We didn't exist with the Mormons till like 77. So if you said that, that would be legal. If you're a state employee and you want to proselytize, condemn homosexuals as sinners, argue that gay people should be killed, put up posters condemning homosexuality as a sin, the state can't fire you. So if you're a religious organization, you can fire them for being gay, but the state can't fire you for hating gays. And on and on and on. Now, it's the same thing as when North Carolina did the trans. There are companies are doing, we're not going to Mississippi, we're not doing business with Mississippi, et cetera, et cetera. But make no mistake, this is going to be the law in Mississippi. And my friend and hilarious comic, Roy Wood Jr., look it up on YouTube, look it up in The Daily Show. He did this with the gay thing in North Carolina, where him and his friends set up a food truck and just wouldn't serve guys because, you look gay. Because that's all they have to say. They don't have to prove you're gay. You seem kind of gay. You could be trans. You could be have long hair. You look kind of trans. We don't have to serve you here. We don't have to rent you a room here. We don't have to sell you anything here. We don't have to provide you any services because we live in 1955. Way to go, Mississippi. Beautiful. And, all those people who didn't want Hillary, I feel a burn. I feel a burn. I ain't voting for Hillary Clinton. Fuck Hillary Clinton. I'm a Bernie supporter. I'm not going to vote, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? You gave the Supreme Court to the conservatives. So there's going to be a lot of laws like this that are not going to be overturned. Way to go. Good for you. I am blaming you. I am blaming you because that was the dumbest shit ever. And it's also being proven a lot of that was orchestrated by the Russians. The Russians faked being the Bernie supporters and putting out the anti-Hillary shit and all this and all that. And you fell for it. And you didn't realize that even if you hated Hillary Clinton, and again, I know she was far from perfect, but you gave up the Supreme Court. And that's going to be for a long time. So get used to laws like this. Get used to biblical law. Because it's coming. It's here. Ask Alabama. Roy Moore, are you kidding me? So that leads me to the next thing. And I'm sorry, this podcast is way too long. I really got to cut these things down. But this stuff is interesting to me. And I hope it's interesting to you. Jay Michelson with the Daily Beast wrote an interesting article about the right wing and their beliefs. And the left wing, the left wing just saying, oh, they're crazy and blah, 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 And he says, no, a lot of this, it comes from the Bible. The Bible and people who believe in the Bible, right wing, the mega churches, et cetera, they're constantly talking about these are the worst times in ever. It's the end of days. Society is sick. Society's broken. We've got homosexuals, and we got, football players on their knees, and we got sex and more sex, and even though they're usually the ones caught with the porn and the, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, we got Anthony Weiner, we got Harvey Weinstein, so it's on both sides. And Weinstein, by the way, is an asshole. And here's the thing, speaking of CEOs and their money, would corporations stop paying off lawsuits for guys who sexually harass, attempt to rape, or do whatever to women? How do you get that benefit? Oh, by the way, I jerked off in front of a girl in a restaurant. Would you mind paying her to keep quiet? What the fuck? Yeah, that actually happened. He actually did that. So there's shit people on both sides. But this religious thing of saying we're at the end of times and this is why we need to go back to the Bible and blah, blah, blah. This is not a new idea, and this was fascinating. In 760 BC, there was a prophet, Amos, and he condemned society for abandoning God's law and being led astray. Where have you heard that before? And then in the 1730s, the Great Awakening said society's horrible. It's the end of times. And in the early 1900s, and we've seen this, we've seen clips of this and doing it in movies, those evangelical tents that just traveled around. 1,000 supporters. It's the end of times. It's the worst ever. Oh my God. Society's going to end. The truth And this is the problem. The truth gets in the way of these beliefs. The truth is our current society is safer and healthier than any time in history. Are you kidding me? We live. You've seen Game of Thrones. In Game of Thrones, if you made 40, you were royalty, or you had a dragon or some shit. You serfs died young. There were wars and plagues. There was no medicine, no hospitals. Granted, you don't get to go to the hospital here because you don't have insurance. They're taking away your Obamacare. But we do have hospitals and on and on. No, this is not the worst time ever. We're killing each other, but at a much slower rate than we used to. And a lot of the like I say, sickness and all of that. I mean, cured polio and shit like that. That used to be real. Now, of course, you get the people, the anti-vax people who want to do away with the vaccines, which is, again, we are insane, but we're safer. Now you want to talk about, you know, marriage, for instance. Are you kidding? Biblical marriage? There was polygamy. And then you could take the wives of people you conquered. Yeah, we conquered you. We're taking all your wives. We're married, but we're allowed to take wives. You know, biblical law, you want to go back to Old Testament law. We've all seen those things floating around on the internet about talking to a woman when she's unclean and enslaving people and all that bullshit. It was horrible. Listen, the Bible has a lot of good in it. There's a lot of love thy neighbor, help those less fortunate, and on and on. And did they ever read that part? Could they? I don't think so. Because, and I'm about to wrap this thing up, but again, this is the mind-blowing shit. So again, the right wing field, they're picked on, right? They're abused. We're mean to them. Mean we are. Well, this could be why. They're mad right now. They're mad because a video game is taking an anti-Nazi stance. Let me say that again. They're mad because a video game is anti-Nazi. The video game Wolfenstein 2 has a thing in it. It says, "Make America Nazi free again." And it's about, the game is about killing Nazis. And they actually got mad. One guy, he got mad because he said there's more Black Power Panther racists in America than Nazis. There's another guy. "I dislike how you phrase this. You guys might want to make a statement that you don't hate Trump or freedom." They love freedom. They love freedom. Here's another one. "Oh, wow, what a clever marketing trick. Tapping into the hysterical leftist power fantasy." Yes, it is that terrible leftist power fantasy that hates Nazis. Here's my question. Who in World War II, like, which side were these people's grandfathers on that they're defending Nazis? If you said it even 10 years ago, no one would have believed it. If you said it under Reagan, when the right wing had a lot of power under Reagan. And if you'd have said, "By the way, you're going to come up." Now, mind you, this was a time of Pong, but we're going to advance these video games and we're going to have a video game that's anti-Nazi. I just don't think a right-wing person would say, "Well, that's wrong. You can't be anti-Nazi." Holy shit. Again, I say, I just don't understand it. How can you, maybe it's an all-encompassing thing. Maybe it is. But you claim Jesus. You can't claim the moral high ground. You claim religion. Okay, you say religion fuels your ideas of this being the end of days and society being sick and so on. And yet you're anti-healthcare and you don't like an anti-Nazi video game. I cannot put that together. That blows my mind. You are anti-Nazi video game. Trump said it. There's good people on both sides. These dog whistles are getting so loud. The dogs are baying at the moon. The dogs are like, "Would you stop whistling? We can hear you." So it's a terrible, I wish I played video games just so I could play this video game. I may buy one just to put money into it. I'm serious about that. Finally, I want to say rest in peace to Ralphie May. Ralphie May, a hilarious comic, loud, brash, shit talker, a loving guy, a generous guy. I knew Ralphie. We met 20 years ago. And he's blowing. We did Last Comic together. Ralphie's career blew up. He was most recently had a residency at Harrah's in Vegas, but he was 45 years old, cardiac arrest, probably because of his weight, but I don't know. But gonna miss you, Ralphie. Gonna miss you. You were a good guy, and you were funny as shit. So go be funny in heaven, my friend. Thank you guys for listening. I am headed to Canada. Friday the 13th. I'll be starting a Just for Laughs Canada comedy tour. We're starting in Vancouver. We're going to Vancouver Island. We're going through British Columbia. Then we're going through the prairies. We're going to be in Winnipeg. We're going to be in Edmonton. We're going to go through Toronto, Hamilton, Ottawa, all over Canada for the next couple of weeks. I love that. I love Canada, even though it's getting cold. I still love it. So that's where I'm going to be. I don't know where you're going to be, but keep reading, keep watching. Keep paying attention, and, the good news is, a year ago, we didn't think it could happen, and when it did happen, we thought we'd be done by now, but we're still here, so just keep paying attention and do what we can do, and good luck out there.